and push each other off in the snow, and they're wearing themselves out, pushing each other off in the snow instead of pulling the sled. So I lengthened them out and put my leader about one length and made him about 12 foot through the tow line and about 6 or 8 feet ahead of the others. So when he fell off the trail or got in trouble, well, he'd get out again before the others could get to him. Well, when I got to Telegraph Creek, now this was, of course, from Dawson up, it was no mountains at all, just rolling country. From Carmack on, now at Carmack, that is close to the Coast Range, right at the foot of them, in fact. And I followed right around the Coast Range, close, high, steep mountains. They're very steep, the mountains there. Followed right around close to them, up and down some pretty steep hills from Carmack to Telegraph Creek. They were so steep that I'd have to put on a brake, not with my foot, but wrap a rope around my sled and let it drag that way, that steep of hills. And I got into Telegraph Creek, and by that time I had to get rid of my other dog. They had just killed him, that's all there was to it, and I knew I couldn't protect him all the time. And he was a nice little fella, so I give him the fella in Telegraph Creek. I just figured it wasn't worth the while to fight for that dog's life all that distance. And from Telegraph Creek on, I had about 400, a little better than 400 miles, so there just wasn't anything. Now, a lot of people ask me, how the devil did I find my way? Well, you know the direction you want to go, and you don't use a compass. You can't use a compass. Now, until I got to Telegraph Creek, I was had more or less trail. It wasn't plumb raw, but from Telegraph Creek on, it was just raw. That's all. You just had to find your own way. That's all it would put. Well, now, this is very mountainous from here on. And steep banks, steep rivers, very mountainous country. Mountains that just go clear to the sky. You just wonder how tall they are. Lots of game. I've never seen so much game any place. I see as many as 62 moose in one day. Sheep, caribou, oh, it was a... And lots of fish. Well, I got out of Telegraph Creek a little ways, about 2 days, and a mounted police caught up with me. Just out and kind of wanted to know how I was getting along, and just a friendly visit. And he sat down and with me that night, spent the night, and went back next day. But I've often wondered whether he was kidding me or whether I found a lake just like he described. But he was an artist, and he loved that country. And he told me about being into that country. He wanted to go through with me. If he could have, he would have. But he told me about being into that country about 300 miles north of there. And he described a lake. And the way he described that lake, laying up against the mountains, green trees around it, snow above it, the nice place out in front, how he'd like to build a cabin there. He just described a lake until I just had that picture in my mind. Well, about a week later, I run into that lake exactly as he described it. And, you know, you don't make very far when you're traveling like that. You see, I had to snowshoe ahead. I'd camp at night, I'd snowshoe ahead all I could, probably 10 miles. Then I'd come back to my dogs. I'd hook up my dogs and the next morning and I'd drive that 10 miles. Then I'd unhook my dogs, put them out, snowshoe ahead, come back to my dogs, next morning hook up and make it again. Well, I had to get all my dog feed. I had to break trail. I had to find my direction. So I made mighty slow time, I'm telling you, due to those circumstances. But when I come to that lake, I couldn't believe that I was 300 miles north. I was sure I was keeping my right direction. People say, how do you keep your direction? Well, one way to keep your direction is by the sun. Now, the sun is due south at 12 o'clock noon, so it's easy enough. Now, if your clock watch stops, all you've got to do is to set up two sticks, one for a shadow. Then you set a stick at the other shadow. At the end of the shadow, then you keep sticking up sticks till you get the shortest shadow. When you get the shortest shadow, you have 12 o'clock noon, and your sticks are north and south, and your shadow is heading north, so you know where you are. Well, anyhow, I was just wondered about that lake. It worried me a lot, and I said, gee, I surely can't be lost, but here's that lake, and that fella told me it was 300 miles north, so I said, well, just guess I better go fishing. So I did. The stream that ran out of it was open water. And, oh, there was trout there. Just, I'd never see so many. I didn't fish in the open water. I went and cut a hole through the ice about a foot and drop anything you want to through there, and you just pull out trout. Well, I pulled out about 300 pounds. I split them in two. And, of course, by the time I got them split in two, they were about froze. And I laid them up on a frame and built a fire under them, smoke. And that thawed them out. Of course, I put a canvas over the fish after the frame, after I got it just over the top of them, so it'd hold the heat in. And in about 2 hours, they'd thaw out, and then I'd let my fire go out, and in about 3 or 4 hours, they would freeze, and then I'd build a fire again. About 3 days that I was around there, I had some nice dried fish. I had enough fish, I figured, if I was lost and got into a bad game country, why, I would be all right. But anyhow, I got to, one day I was coming along, and I would get a moose the same way. I'd kill a moose. Well, you didn't want to just throw it away, and a moose would eat a lot. So I'd dry that, and that'd take time. I was just taking my time coming through there because I had to make a living. I didn't carry much stuff, very little stuff. You just couldn't, that was all there was to it, and live mostly off the country. Well, anyhow, one day I was coming down a river, and two moose jumped up. They was both cows, and one was ahead of the other, running, and right straight from me, and one had her head way in the air, and they've got a way of holding their head up and looking first one side and then the other looking back at you. And I said, well, that head's a good shot. So I just pulled up my rifle, had my sled thrown over on one side and laying on its side, and the dogs yipping. So I just pulled a bead on that head and pulled the trigger, and both of those moose went down. It had killed the cow that I shot at, glanced and hit this other one in the back. I'd killed two moose with one shot. I don't believe anybody ever done that before. And Lord, that just made me sick. Well, I left a lot of meat that time, but I dried a lot too. I'm telling you about that. Another way to find your direction is by your trees. And you know everything that you grows to the south. That's because about 90% of the sun is to the south. So your biggest limbs and everything like that is to the south. Your barest mountains is on the north. I didn't even have a map because that country just has no map that is accurate, or didn't at that time. They didn't have much of a map at all. But I knew just about the direction I want to go, which was about southeast. And so that's the direction I'd keep. I might strike a stream. I would follow up for maybe 2 or 3 days up a stream, and it was going off course. Well, then I'd strike another stream that would take me back onto my course. And that's the way I got along. I imagine that I traveled about 450 miles of coming through there. Well, by the time I got begin to get out, it was so late that the Indians, the trappers, there's some trappers in there, because I see some tracks after I got further down river. And I struck this river. I knew it as the one that I had to come on, and so I started down it. Well, the sun was out by that time, and I was wearing my snow glasses a little, and worried a lot because I was afraid the river was going to go out. And if the river went out, I would just blow it up. That's all there was to it. And I come to a box canyon. Well, you know what a box canyon is, so I don't need to tell you. Well, this was awfully fast, and the over middle of it was been there all open. But along the banks, it was frozen. Well, now, to went over that top, it had took me a week to get my outfit over there. So I had just decided I'd go down the bank, one of those banks, down that box canyon on that ice that is frozen to the side. So I'd have to cut away. I'd take my axe and I'd cut a ditch for my upper runner to run in. Some places there wasn't 3 feet, some places 5 or 6 feet out into the river. But some places so close that the dogs would just crowd right up to the bank. And I had quite a time. Watch my sled close to get it out of that rut where it went out. But I just had to take a chance, that's all there was to it. I got about halfway through. The river was a little slower. And for about 100 yards there, it was, I imagine it was about 3 miles through that canyon. For about 100 miles, about 100 yards there, it was frozen pretty well across. Places in it that wasn't. Well, I looked at that, and I'd been watching the other side, and it looked like it was better than the side I was on. And, you know, the green pasture's on the other side all the time. Well, I come to this place, I said, gee, that's all right, I believe. And why I'd done this, I don't know. I was coming on without snowshoes. My snowshoes was on the sled, and here I had ice clear across the river. And I thought I would go to the other side and take a look. Is really what is in my mind, because I never spoke to my dogs at all. I just left them where I was. If I'd have tried to drive my leader across there, probably he wouldn't have went, because he knew more about snow and that ice was dangerous. Well, I got about halfway across, and I felt my ice give away. There was a piece about 6 foot square, maybe bigger, that it just give away and went into the river. Well, now I knew what was going to happen. The upper part of the water was going to catch that upper part of the ice. The ice was going to turn over, and I was going to be in under that ice. That's all there was to it. And if I got under that ice, that's the end of it. Well, I just took 2 steps right quick, right on the way I was going. And when I give a jump for that bank, well, the ice went under me at the same time. And I lipped with my stomach, right, just my belt, just about on that ice. You know, the ice was fairly rough, thank God. But my snowshoes was in the water. The water was quite swift. And boy, I was clawing for all I was worth to keep out of that river. The snowshoes are dragging me down and me hanging on, trying to drag up. And pretty soon something happened. I believe that ice clogged or something and kind of dammed that channel up, because I felt the water quit dragging on my shoes and just kind of lift. You could just imagine what happened. And while that ice was lifting, I don't think it was a minute and a half, I made up. I got my snowshoes out and setting on the ice and got hold of my snowshoes with my hands and pulled them up, and there I was setting on the ice. And boy, I was just shaky and stiff. I was in a fix, I'm telling you. I was afraid to get up. I was afraid to do anything. And I looked over and see my dogs. I said, that's it. So I spoke to my leader. I said, come here, fella.